Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Welcome back to Hijabi Diaries. This is your host Malaika, and this is season 2, episode 16. So, as you have read by the title, this is basically about how the Quran was revealed to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And yeah, because you know, the month of Ramadan is basically the month where the Quran was revealed. So, we're gonna dig deep into the story, and it's a beautiful story. I love it so much, and you guys will love it too. So without further ado, let's get talking about it. So the day that it was revealed, it was actually Laylatul Qadr, the night of power. So it was just Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and Angel Jibril alayhi salam, aka Gabriel. So the first squeeze from Angel Jibril alayhi salam told us that it was going to be a very difficult thing, a very difficult time upon the Prophet. As you all know, all the battles he went through, the difficulty and the struggles that he had to go through in order for Islam to be established. So in the Quran it says, indeed we will cast upon you a heavy word, Quran 73:5. So even though no one was really there to witness the revelation, if you did live in Medina, you were likely to see the Prophet, peace be upon him, receiving revelation at least once. And what a sight it was, actually, to see the Quran coming down on the Prophet, peace be upon him. So the revelation coming down on the Prophet, peace be upon him, was actually a lot more heavier even before he received it. That is why Ibn Masud radiallahu anha says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to send the revelation. He said that the inhabitants of the heavens, meaning the angels in the heavens, they hear the clinging of a bell from the other heaven above it. So it's like a chain pulling on the Mount of As-Safa. It's so loud and so powerful that even the malaika, the angels, they faint. So as Angel Jibril alayhi salam is coming by, they say, Ya Jibril, what did your Lord say? What did your Lord say? And he says, Al-Haq, Al-Haq, wa huwa al-Aliyul Kabir. He spoke the truth. He spoke the truth, and he is the most high, the most great. So this is Jibril alayhi salam bringing the revelation that causes the angels to faint, and it's about to come upon the Prophet, peace be upon him, while he's in front of your eyes, you know. So before I like basically begin the story of like how it was actually revealed to him, it's important to know how the messenger, peace be upon him, was like, you know, in his life and the community and society that he had known. So basically, the community and the society that was around him, they had known him as the most honest from, you know, amongst them, and like the most trustworthy. So basically, you know, his reputation was intact completely, and he was like a person who was honest in business, and just like someone who was like the most truthful, the most pure, very trustworthy. And that was just how he was, the most perfect, you know. So now on to the story of his prophethood. So as we know, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, used to meditate in a cave known as the Hira. It was this beautiful cave, and it's quite small, but it's still there in Mecca, as you guys know. You can visit there and see. So he used to sit there and meditate over like the evil that was being done in the community around him, like the girls that were being buried alive because people felt like, you know, it was an embarrassment to have a female as like a child, you know, because, you know, people favored boys over girls, and sometimes they still do in some cultures, you know what I mean. At the same time, the people used to basically drink and treat their women like they were like nothing, and they used to worship sticks and stones, idols. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, used to stand up for like the injustices that were happening around him. Like, for example, women, they would think girls and women as like objects and just like a disgrace, embarrassment. Like, they didn't want to have a female child, they would prefer a guy. But Islam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that's completely wrong, and women and men are created equal. No one is like superior to each other. You guys are both equal in my eyes. And basically, Islam gave women rights, and that's what Prophet Muhammad stood for. He wanted to bring a change into the world and the community, and he would pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one and only, for assistance, for guidance, for solutions every time he went through a problem and just an obstacle in his way around the community that he used to live in. So one day Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was meditating in the cave, and Jibril alayhi salam, the angel Gabriel, he descended one day, and he read the following verses, and this was like the beginning of revelation that was given to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He was instructed, ikra, 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 meaning read, and you know the honest man that he was, he immediately said, I cannot read, because back in the day, they were illiterate. Many people didn't know how to read or write. So, you know, he was asked again by Angel Jibril alayhi salam to read, ikra, ikra. And he said again, I can't, I cannot read. And so basically what happened was the third time, Angel Jibril alayhi salam came in with beautiful revelation, a continuation. So he said, ikra. Bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, read in the name of your Rabb, your Lord. So he said, read in the name of your Rabb who has created khalaq kal insan minaq, created man from a clot. And these were the first basically verses of like revelation given to Muhammad, peace be upon him. And as he got these verses, he like rushed down from the mountain, the cave of Hira, and he went to his like wife Khadija radiallahu anha, and he said, he actually asked her to embrace him, to hug him tightly, and that's what she did, you know. So she hugged him. So basically Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, narrated everything that happened, you know, at the cave, and he told her, who will believe me, Khadija? And first of all, she believed in him, and she basically went out to seek some help, as you know, because he was very honest and he was trustworthy. So the entire society knew him as like the honest and trustworthy person at the age of 40, and it was basically impossible for him to come up with, like, you know, a lie. Like, why would he lie about this? So this is why it's important that we understand, like, Khadija radiallahu anha took him immediately to her uncle or her cousin, who happened to be a knowledgeable person. His name was Waraka, and this man, who was basically related to Khadija radiallahu anha, he was a very knowledgeable person in the scriptures, and as he heard the story, he immediately said that the same angel Jibril alayhi salam that came to Jesus, Moses, and the previous prophets, peace be upon them all, has come to you. And we were expecting this, we were waiting for it basically. And the fact that he basically came to you, you need to know that your nation is going to turn against you. So the prophet asked him a question, do you mean that they're going to turn against me? So he said that they're going to drive you out of your home, out of your city. And then he said, are they going to drive me out? Like, what have I done? What would I have done, you know? So he said that is what happened to like the previous messengers. So it was like a beautiful message which was delivered at the particular time. And Waraka did pass away shortly after. He was very instrumental in informing Muhammad, peace be upon him, as to exactly what was going to happen and what to expect, you know. And if we like take a look at the revelation thereafter, we're gonna see that there was like a slight pause that was preparing the Rasulullah, peace be upon him, for the next revelation and making him look forward to it basically. And this is like where the Rasulullah, peace be upon him, narrated what was gonna happen to a few of like his closest friends and stuff. So as we know, there is always a call to each prophet, peace be upon them, when they receive the revelation. So the call was very, very simple. It was basically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying for you to leave your idols. The call was to leave, like, that was basically shirk, and barbaric and insane to like leave oppression and to just worship the one who made you, just him, no one else, because you're here in this life for a very short period of time. It's important that you just worship your maker, the one who made you. And if you associate partners with him, whether it be like, you know, the sticks, the stones during the Arabian times, or even the pre-Arabia or the pre-Islamic times in Arabia, or anything of, you know, modern nature today, we would be faltering what we should be doing. And this is the core message and the idea of the entire revelation and the whole advent of the sending of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, as a messenger, was to remind us to worship our maker and just our maker alone. Okay, so that is the story of how the Quran was revealed to the most beloved. And it was a continuous of revelations. It wasn't just one. So, you know, he kept throughout his life, or throughout his prophethood, he kept receiving different surahs from the Quran. But the very first one was the Surah Al-Alaq, which were the very first five verses that the angel Jibril alayhi salam said, "Read, Iqra, Iqra, O Prophet, in the name of your Lord, Rabb, who created man from a clot of congealed blood," like I said. So yeah, that is the story. It's really beautiful. I could dive deeper, but honestly, I'm not, you know, a scholar or an imam or a sheikh or whatever, but there's definitely videos out there from a lot of different sheikhs who do explain the story a lot better, and I will definitely link them, because I did get some of my knowledge from these videos. And yeah, so a reminder to read your Quran every single day in the month of Ramadan, as our good deeds are multiplied 70 times more. Subhanallah, like, this is just like a very beautiful month for you to just, you know, draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and just do the best you can, because Ramadan is just a glimpse of what we can do every single day in our daily lives without the month, you know what I mean? So yeah, get to work and do good deeds, be good, and just fulfill your lives to the best as you can, because in the end, it's either you go to Jannah or you go to Jahannam, you know what I mean? So yeah, so until next time, fi'man Allah.